building is not an easy thing to do, because you have maybe 1-2 seconds when you're up on that whale to make all the decisions in the world, confecting the taste buds of all of the people from here to St. Lawrence Island. So.
James Nariak is a whaling captain in Barrow. Barrow is one of 9 villages in Alaska that hunt the bowhead, a tradition that is thousands of years old. On this Chinook program, we'll learn a bit about what's involved in hunting the giant mammal, getting a crew together, preparing the outfit. Much of the equipment, the shoulder guns and bombs and such, is sold by Tom Brower Sr. of the Cape Smythe Whaling and Trading Company. That business was established by his father, Charles Brower, a commercial whaler who came to Alaska and the Arctic in 1886. Tom Brower Sr. not only sells whaling equipment, but is also a successful whaling captain.
About how many years do you figure you've been whaling?
Oh, I'm 79. I was 9 years old when I first went out with my dad.
You have any idea how many whales you've gotten?
I don't like to talk about that. Those are things I don't like to... People like to brag about what they've done, but I don't. That has been my way of hunting. A lot of people had asked me, how many whales do you think? I don't have to tell you. I know I have enough. The good Lord provided, and I says, I'm not out there to brag about what the good Lord has given me, provided for me. Some years when we were whaling, commercial whaling, I was struck out in the edge of that polar cap ice, following it all the way to Wrangel Island and Herald Island over Siberian coast. We picked up 15, 16 whales some years, and then we'll go through the Bering Strait over to Teller. Behind the bar there, we'd be boiling oil for 3 or 4 weeks and then head back down south to San Francisco to deliver the oil, the baleen, and the fur that we had.
When did commercial whaling stop up here?
1919 was they stopped whaling by big boats.
Now commercial whaling is forbidden in this country. The bowhead is an endangered species and is hunted only for subsistence purposes. Kaktovik and Nuiksuk on the North Slope hunt in the fall, but the other 7 whaling villages pursue the bowhead in the spring, and for all 9 villages, preparations for whaling go on nearly year-round.
We start thinking about whaling even in the summertime.
James Nariak.
Because we need the skin boat, the skins for the boat, and we have to go out and make sure that we have enough Uruk skins to cover the boat for the next spring's season. So the summer activities are geared toward that, the acquiring of enough Uruk skins to have a new cover for the boat for the next spring. And of course, it's winter time. We get together and talk, plan a little bit. You know, we are beginning to plan even in January, first of the year. We get together and what do we need this year? What is needed for our whaling crew? So it's an ongoing activity.
Assembling a whaling crew is an ongoing activity as well. Usually, many of the members of the crew will be relatives. Others will request to join a certain crew, and some will be recruited for their skills.
If you have an eye on a person that is really somebody who is good at whaling, who's been a successful harpoonist or successful shoulder gun man, there's certain things that you need to do. One way is to maybe buy him a snow machine. in the middle of the winter, probably. Okay, you start thinking about the springtime, maybe in December. Are you interested in whaling? Well, yeah, I guess I am. And if he shows some interest, then you goad him a little bit by buying him a new rifle or a new snow machine, something that is usable by him when the whaling season is over. I guess that's one way of buying his services.
There may be as many as 15 members of a whaling crew, all men. In Barrow, women are not allowed to participate in the hunt and are discouraged from going out on the ice to visit the camps.
We generally don't like to have the women around.
But the success of a crew depends on the work done by women before and during the time of whaling.
Women's role in that is such that she gets everything ready. She gets the food ready, she gets the clothes ready, she's there when she's needed to, when her husband gets her his crew members. If the crew members need warm clothing, we supply it. We supply everything, and it's a lot of expense. We buy all their needs. If you're well supplied with fish and caribou, we don't have to buy the meat. But when we're out, then that's another expense because we have to go out and see who's got some and even barter for what you have. You know, if you don't have the money, barter whatever your needs are with somebody who has it. And the food in the stores, like the kids today have sandwich meats and which down there, candy bars and cereal and milk. They're out there like this morning since they're out on the ice where after the close-up, two of our sons this morning says, Mom, how about bacon and eggs? So since Dad could go out with a truck, that ice, he took some bacon and eggs out there for them.
The whaling camps are perched along the edge of the shore fast ice of the Chukchi Sea. In front of them, if conditions are favorable, there is an expanse of dark water, a lead, where the bowheads will surface on their migration north. It is usually cold at camp and often windy. Some crew members gather in a canvas tent, while others stay outside, hoping to sight a whale. And if they do, crew members dash into the skin boat that is perched at the edge of the water. The skins are of bearded seal, ugruk. The boat is called an umiak. It takes at least 6 skins to cover the boat. Men must either hunt the ugruk or purchase the hides.
If we are not successful in getting the ugruk's skins for the boat, and somebody else has the skins, we have to buy them, you know. $100 a skin now, and if we need women to sew the skins together, they're getting to be about $50 a ream of stitch, you know. So we have about 8 women.
Are young women learning those skills?
Yeah, some women are learning, but they're very few, very very few. The old tradition has to be carried out. We're trying to show our young people, you know. But the old people mostly are the ones that are doing it and showing it. Sometimes their hands aren't too strong anymore. And then they show what's got to be done to those hides to sew them properly. And if you're not observant, you don't do it. But you show when they stretch that skin if you've been slack on trying to stretch your hide. Boy, your seam will they stretch it, you know. If you let it loose, it really shows. And those old people, smooth as you please. My friend and I were very embarrassed. Oh, we can do it. We weren't paying any attention, you know. So we did it. And we got through way ahead of them. And it showed what we did. We never stretched the hide like we were supposed to. It's a very messy job. And the odor lingers on you for, my gosh, a week or so because of the oil of those skins. But it's a necessity. It has to be done if you want to be a whaler. And a whaler's wife, you have to contend with it. You know, I don't think it will ever change unless the boat builders manufacture something that will take the place of a numia. I guess overall, that's what goes with whaling. And part of the women's roles in getting the hides, the clothing, their needs. She's a part. She's, without her, I guess, there's not much. She's needed. Same as the whaling captain is needed in the crew.
Next on Chinook, Hunting the Bowhead. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.